the first minute of this message is missing, and Brother Wilson is quoting the beginning scripture of his message from Isaiah, the 58th chapter.
Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 9 says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. If thou shalt, or thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Now, it discusses here the thought of fasting. And in the first place, he discusses the thought of people going through all kinds of outward demonstrations, manifestations in their fasting. And he said, is that the fast I've chosen? Do you call that an acceptable offering to the Lord? He makes it known that that isn't what he wants. But he said, the fast that I have chosen is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, break every yoke, take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanities. Now you'll notice that everything he said here in this case up to now has to do with our attitudes and our relationships with other people. In fact, a great deal of the Word of God is instructions about how to deal with other people. And it comes clear to me that the most of our problems arise from our relationship with other people. And God's very much concerned about what our attitudes are toward other people. We discount human relations. Sometimes people say, I'm not so much concerned about that as I am my relationship with God. But I have this word of advice for you, that you're never going to have a right relationship with God until you have a right relationship with other people. God's concerned about other people. And he's just as concerned about other people as he is me, or as he is you. There's no respect of persons with God. We kind of respect ourselves, maybe above other people, but God doesn't do it that way. And if you want the blessings of God in your life, you're going to have a good and right and proper attitude toward other people. And in all your dealings with other people. And now in this little series of messages I'm bringing along this line now, I'm hoping that God will wrought upon every heart through His Word, through the influence of His Spirit, tendering every one of our souls toward our brethren and toward our fellow men, to cause us to take steps to undo heavy burdens. If our attitudes toward some of our brethren have brought a heavy burden on them, drop those attitudes. Pray out from under them. Be healed of them. People sometimes need healing in their attitudes. And I believe and preach that there are other things to be saved from besides sin. And that saints need some saving too. And sometimes we need saving from our attitudes, from our thoughts, from our feelings, from our dispositions, from ourselves. Just be saved from ourselves. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. Drop all your claims. And just lift your hand and let the oppressed go free. And break every yoke. And He said, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke. If somebody in the midst of thee burdened and under a galling yoke because of your attitude toward them, the way you feel toward them or the way you treat them or the way you talk about them or whatever, He says, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger. Anybody got an accusing attitude toward somebody? Pointing your finger at somebody? Folks, He said, take it away from the midst of you. And the speaking of vanities, just rumors, peddling rumors. Some people are just plain rumor mongers. Is that just take all these things away from the midst of you? And folks, I believe if people will do this and bring ourselves into a right attitude toward our fellows. Seek God to give us victories over our feelings, over our dispositions, over our attitudes. God will just open up the heavens and pour out a blessing on those folks that there'll not be room to contain it. We'll be a happy bunch of people. Now going on, we want to notice this morning in the 5th chapter of Matthew, from verse 23. Most of our comments last Sunday were based in verse 22. After Jesus had given that instruction to them and bore down on it how important it was that they have the right attitude toward their brethren, and a brother in this case is your fellow man. The Jews limited it to the Jews, but Jesus doesn't. He expanded the privileges of salvation to all people. And we should look upon every man as a creature of God and a soul that Christ died for and the purchase of Christ's blood, and that makes him precious in our eyes, in our sight. Now, we discussed last Sunday the thought of people forgiving people and letting them know that you forgive them. Now, that's important. Sometimes we may forgive after a fashion, but we don't get it across to people, I forgive you. I'm dropping my claims. I'm laying down everything. I'm accepting you. I forgive you for any offense that you committed toward me. And we dealt a little with the thought of a forgiving attitude, a forgiving spirit, and that it was the disposition of Christian people to forgive offenses before forgiveness was asked. Just carry a forgiving attitude. It'll help you in your dispositions toward people and in holding the right attitude toward people. If you forgive them. And Jesus mentioned in the 17th chapter of Luke that if a brother trespass against you seven times in a day, this is way on out beyond our thinking, isn't it? We don't think that way. But he said if he does, and seven times in a day turn saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, people that are a little more hurt than they have a right to be, and that happens many times. I've dealt with numbers of cases like that. That people just got hurt more deeply than they had any right to get hurt. Just because it's me. And people ought not to treat me this way. They say sometimes, well, it's not the thing so much as the principle of it. Well, I've got a little test I put on that. Now, if somebody treats you a certain way, and you get all hurt about that, but you can see that person treat somebody else that way, and you say, oh, well, that's them. For that, I'm not going to take sides in that. And you don't get just as hurt in seeing them do the same thing to somebody else as you got hurt over them doing it to you. That's just you plain feeling sorry for yourself. It isn't the principle involved at all. If it were the principle involved, and it hurt you just as bad to see them do it to this brother or sister as if they did it to you. Well, by the time somebody comes and asks our forgiveness seven times in a day, we would naturally begin to wonder, is that fella sincere? And that's kind of the excuse that people salve their conscience with. Well, I just don't believe he's sincere. I don't believe he meant it. Well, I have this word of admonition for you. It isn't any of your business whether he was sincere or not. It's not your business to question whether he meant it or not. Jesus said, if he say, I repent, you forgive him. Did he say, I repent? Did he ask you for forgiveness? Yeah, but I don't think he meant it. That's none of my business whether he meant it or not, or how sincere he was. But I'm to look after myself. I'm the guardian of my own soul. And I'm to look after myself and keep myself clear with God. And in order to do that, if he says I repent, I have to accept that and just forgive him. I ought to have forgiven him anyhow before he got around to that point. Now he says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift there before the altar, and go first and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Let me tell you something, folks. In a religion that focuses on love, an individual with an uncharitable heart cannot be tolerated at its altars. We must have a charitable disposition and attitude. And God's letting us know that if you don't consider your brother, if you overlook him, there's a scripture that says, why dost thou set thy brother at naught? That's pretty pungent, isn't it? That gets down kind of close to us in this area where we're talking now. Why do you set your brother at naught? And another scripture that we considered in the message last Sunday morning said, let us consider one another. Now that's what God wants, an attitude of that kind. Let us consider one another and not set one another at naught. But that's what you're doing if you remember that your brother hath aught against you, and you just go on and offer your offering right on over that anyway, you're just setting him at naught. Now he says, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother hath aught against you, leave your gift. The phraseology here is Jewish. And the setting of this piece of instruction here is the time of the Jew bringing his offering unto God. Now they had different offerings that they brought. Among them was their sin offering. And the sin offering had to be inspected by the priest and passed by him. The requirement on it was that it must be without spot or blemish. It must be a perfect sacrifice. And it depended on the acceptance of the sacrifice whether the Jew had his sins forgiven or not. That was one of the most important, if not the most important, thing in a Jew's life is when he brought his offering to the altar. It had to be examined and approved to be acceptable, be all right. And he's going to stand right there and see that that's acceptable. The forgiveness of my sins or the blessing that I'm seeking for God, it all depends on whether this offering's acceptable or not. It was just this important to him. He might have pressing business engagements, but he wouldn't go away for that. He might have social engagements and a dinner appointment or some such a thing, but he wouldn't go away for that. He might have sickness at home, but he wouldn't leave for that. He was concerned to see if his sacrifice were acceptable. But Jesus said there's one cause for him to leave. There's one reason for him to get up and go. And that is if he remembers that his brother hath aught against you. You see the importance that Jesus is attaching to this thing? Leave your gift. Go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and finish offering your gift. It's quite important, isn't it? And just how our attitudes and dispositions and treatments of one another are. Now I'm going to borrow a little thought here, if I can find a piece of chalk. Here's one, I think. From Brother Harmon. The scripture tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, in about verse 13, he says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but that it rather be healed. Now, God's interested in you getting to heaven. He's interested in you being saved and being clear with Him. But He's interested in that brother that you offended getting to heaven too. He wants him there, and he wants you concerned about him getting there and concerned enough to go back and get him by the hand and bring him along with you while you're going. That fella is offended, hurt, crippled. He needs some help. It's because you did something to him. And the thing for you to do is to go back and get him. And show a concern in your own heart about him getting to heaven too. Now, Brother Harmon had a little thought like this. He drew a line like this, and then the fellow gets saved over here, and he straightens off. The Bible said, make straight paths for your feet. But now back here, in these places are people that you hurt, that you offended, and they can't see you straight out here. They can't see over all these things you did to them, or that thing, if it's just one thing, they can't see over that and see you straight out here. You may have gotten saved, and you may be walking straight, but here he is back here, and he can't get over the hump. He's got this hurt. But he says the way that a truly born-again soul will do when he gets the love of Christ in his heart, he'll go back here to the start. And he'll pick up these things and straighten them out. And when he gets through with it, he's made straight paths for his feet all the way from the start, clear through to the finish. He didn't just start out here where he got saved and start being straight, but he went back and straightened out things back here, and he's straight all the way now. And got some other folks going along with him that wasn't able to get over the hump. till he went back and straightened up with them. Now he says, agree with that adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. You know, folks, that's the best policy. If you discover that you've committed an offense right there while you're in contact with that thing, fix it then. That's the best thing to do. That's the best way out. Don't let that thing linger, because it's going to go deeper all the time with that fellow that you hurt. And it'll take roots and produce roots of bitterness and be hard for him to get the victory over that, even when you go back and try to straighten up with him. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. I recall an incident, and I've told you this a time or two before, but it belongs right here, so I'm going to say it again. We were doing some work on the campground down at Pasadena, California. That's before the saints moved the campground out to Pacoima. And it was during the war. Things were hard to get. You couldn't always get everything you wanted in any line. So Brother Harmon gave me a list of material to get, and then over here he had another list on the side. Well, I didn't interpret the thing right, and I went out to get everything there was on that sheet of paper. And I had to do quite a little bit of shopping, going from place to place, but I wound up getting everything there was on that sheet of paper. Got it delivered out there, ready to work on the work day. I thought I'd done a pretty good job. Get all that stuff, everything they wanted, the way the conditions were. Well, we got out there to work, and there were several fellas out there, and we were going along working, and Brother Harmon had come by and kicked some of this material every once in a while, and he'd say, wonder where that come from. Wonder how that got here. Well, I didn't say anything. He had given me the list to shop for, and I got the stuff, and I don't know, several times he come around during the forenoon and he kicked this stuff, and well, that's just in the way. I wonder what that's doing here. Well, finally noon came and we went in to eat lunch. He was sitting right over here, I don't know, maybe next to me or the next one, right close to me around the table. And he brought that up again. That pile of stuff laid out there just in the way. And I just spoke up and I said, yeah, and I know some fellas that'll just sit around and pass the buck. Well, it hit me like that. It's like somebody dropped a pile of brick on me. Oh, my. I ought not to have spoken to that brother like that. That was bad. Well, they began to they called for someone to offer thanks, and I didn't feel like offering thanks. I was pretty bad off by then. And they passed the food around, and I'd about lost my appetite. And Oh, my, I sure shouldn't have spoken to that brother like that. So I realized pretty soon I knew I'd straighten that up with Brother Harmon. I wouldn't let that stand. It was hitting me too hard. But everybody'd be scattered out and gone, and maybe I'd never get them all together again. And this scripture come to me: agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him. I turned to Brother Harmon and I said, Brother Harmon, I spoke very inadvertently to you a while ago, very much out of order. And I said, right while everybody's here now that heard me make that remark to you, I want to apologize to you and ask your forgiveness for speaking to you like that. Well, that took it all up. That cleared the whole thing. But if I'd have let it go, they got scattered out and was out there working, and then they went home, and maybe we never did get together like that anymore. Maybe 5 years from then, I'd have gotten up to preach, and somebody been sitting back there. I wonder if he ever straightened that up with Brother Harmon the way he spoke to him. It'd still be in his mind. Now, what had happened, Brother Harmon knew things would be hard to get to. So this list that he put down over on the side was, if you can't get this, get this. But he didn't explain that to me, so I went out and got both of them. And they did have a bunch of stuff out there that we didn't need and we couldn't use. But I got into trouble over that. And the only way I got out of that trouble was agreeing with him quickly. Right there while I was in the way with him, and all them other folks around there were in the way too. And they heard me straighten that up, so that never did need to be any worry in anybody's mind from then on. But I didn't understand about those two lists and get this if you can't get this. So I just got them both, and one of them was in his way. Well, that didn't license me to speak to him that way anyway. Even then. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him. You know, I don't know about you folks, but I was just analyzing myself this morning before I got up, before daylight come. And I'm a fella that if somebody hurts me, I don't take that to heart too much. I can pray a little bit and sleep a little bit, and it'll pretty well be healed with me. But if I become conscious that I hurt somebody else, that worries me. I take that to heart a lot more than I do when somebody hurts me somewhere or other. It hurts me, and I grieve deeply to think I hurt somebody. And I'll assure you, there may be some folks out there looking me in the face that's hurt at me now. I don't know, but I'll assure you I didn't mean to hurt you. And I didn't know that I hurt you. And if I did, I'd be worrying about it. Now, agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison, getting deeper all the time, going farther all the time, involved in deeper trouble as time goes on. You could have settled it easily and quickly back there if you'd have just agreed quickly with your adversary. But now it has grown. Now it's taken root. Now it's deeper. And you're going to have a little problem getting everything all cleared up now. Now think about these rumors that fly from here, from yonder, and go around the country. How would you ever straighten up anything like that? How could you? You may straighten it up with the person that was initially involved, but it's gone you don't know where. And how many that's been affected by it? There'd be no way for you to ever pay the uttermost farthing. Is as you let things go until it comes to the point that you're cast into a debtor's cell, so to speak, cast into prison, brought into bondage, hemmed up in a corner, meeting this thing everywhere you go. He says you're not going to come out then, so you paid the uttermost farthing. Folks, things are easier to fix when they're fresh. When they're brand new, agree with the adversary quickly. Let us live that way. Let us take that as the model and pattern of our lives, to just not let things ride. Don't let things go. Agree with your adversary quickly. Remember, your adversary means just as much to God as you mean to God. And if Christ died for him the same as he did you, and he loves him and wants to bless him the same as he loves you and wants to bless you. And many times he can't bless you like he wants to bless you because your attitude isn't right toward this other fellow that he loves too. I stand, be dismissed now.